Dear brothers and sisters, let us come to the third meeting. At the beginning of this meeting, how about let us read together the general subject of this conference. Fight the good fight. Finish the course. Keeping the faith and loving the Lord's appearing in order to receive the reward of Christ as the crown of righteousness. Before the meeting, in the fellowship among the brothers who wrote the outline said particularly that the burden of this time is to continue the burden of the 2023 International Chinese Speaking Conference. It's for the prepare, make ourselves ready for the Lord's coming. That was the subject last year's ICSC, and this year's message is to prepare us in four things. That is what's talked about in the general subject. Number one, fight the good fight to finish the course, keep the faith, and loving the Lord's appearing. If we prepare ourselves in these four matters, dear saints, we will gain Christ to receive the reward of Christ as the crown of righteousness. Recently, dear brothers and sisters, I was reading Brother Watchman Nee's messages in the Kulin training, 29 and 53. The promise of the Lord's coming is the greatest record in the Bible. In his studying, doesn't matter be it in the Old or New Testament, every epistle, every book talk about the Lord's coming. He talked about in the Lord's, in the New Testament, every 20 verses will mention once of the Lord's coming. That means that our Christian life, service, and our church life should set our eyes upon the matter of the Lord's coming. In Paul, in 1 Thessalonians, we know that the believers in 1 Thessalonians, they were believers who were just saved for merely a year. Every chapter, he, in Thessalonians, he concludes with the Lord's coming. In verse 1 and 9, he encouraged them, since you have turned away from idols, you should serve a true and living God to wait for his son's coming, deliver us from the wrath which is coming. Even a new believer need to know the Lord's coming and live a life that is waiting for the Lord's coming. And every week, as we have the Lord's table to remember him, in 1 Corinthians 11, 26, is that we eat in this bread and drink this cup to declare the Lord's death until he comes. So week by week, remember the Lord that we love. This is going toward. It's to establish his kingdom on this earth when we have the Lord's table. So, brothers and sisters, we are like the worldly people. We need to live. We need to work. But we hope that within us we need to live a life that awaits the Lord's coming. But the watchman needs that to know, to believe, and to study the Lord's coming, do not equate. We live a life of awaiting his coming. He said many people who study and speak about the Lord's coming, yet in his understanding, there's only one person. That is Sister Emmy Barbara, who is a person who really wait for the Lord's coming. Her whole life was waiting and preparing for the Lord's coming. One day, at the end of the year, the last day of the year, she had a prayer to the Lord. He said, Lord, if you want to come today, it's still adequate. You don't have to wait till next year. Even today, Lord, you can come. You can see how M.A. Barbara expect the Lord's return in such a desperate way. One day, Watchman Nee and M.A. Barbara were walking to a corner. He said, She said, the Lord is coming. The days are coming near and near. Maybe when we turn a corner, we will see him. We will meet him. May we have such a spirit, not only to know the Lord's coming, but we also live a life that awaits his coming. How do we wait for the Lord's coming? How do we prepare ourselves for the Lord to come back? How about let us read again the general subject of this conference? Fighting the good fight, finishing the course, keeping the faith, and loving the Lord's appearing in order to receive the reward of Christ as a crown of righteousness. Let us come to message number 3. Keeping the faith. What is faith? What is faith related to? How can we keep the faith? At the beginning of the message, I like to use 1 Timothy 1:1. It talks about some basic principles. There are 7 points that are very much related. Talk about the first basic and crucial matter is the faith. We know what is our faith. This is a contents of the complete gospel according to God's New Testament economy. It is objective. It is mentioned in 1 Timothy 1:4. It is God's economy in faith. But how can we receive this faith? The second basic and crucial matter is the truth. What is the truth? The truth is the reality of the contents of the faith. For us to receive faith, we must be someone who know the truth. 1 Timothy 2:4, we need to come to the full knowledge of the truth. But how can we receive the truth? We need the third basic and crucial matter, that is the healthy teaching. That is the healthy words and healthy speech. And these are, it's a divine truth to grant us and supply to us a divine reality and truth. We'll want to follow closely the healthy teaching, then we will receive the truth. Then we will be secure firmly of the faith. Number 4, to keep the faith, we need to what? We need to hold on to keep the eternal life. Therefore, the fourth point is the matter of life. That is the eternal life of God. And this life is the process and ability for us to accomplish God's faith. How can we have this faith? How can we live this faith? That is by God's eternal life. When we experience this life, we live out this life, then we have number 5, that is godliness. A living, that is the expression of God, to express of the divine reality that we have received. The last 2 points are faith and conscience. Faith is our act of believing, and it is a subjective aspect of the faith. It is a reaction and response to the objective faith, so we can receive and partake of the subjective faith. And number 7, the faith is the leading part of our spirit, which justifies or condemns our relationship with God and with men. That tests, examines, and balances and keeps us in the divine faith. Therefore, it says to keep the faith, holding faith and good conscience, concerning which some trusting of these have been shipwrecked regarding the faith. This is 1 Timothy 1:9. Therefore, faith and conscience are the protection of our Christian faith. May this 7 things, the faith, the truth, the healthy teaching, number 3, number 4, life, number 5, godliness, number 6, faith, and number 7, the conscience, maybe 7 points are very much related with mentioning about the matter of the faith, and these are the key points of this message. Let us come to Roman number 1 as the outline. In the New Testament, faith is both objective and subjective. Amen. The objective, the faith has the objective aspect and the subjective aspect. A, the objective faith refers to the subject of our believing. That is, to the things in which we believe. The subjective faith includes the contents of God's New Testament economy. Therefore, faith in this objective aspect is are the objects or the things which we believe. That includes the contents of God's New Testament economy. As message 2 referred to, this is the vision that we should have received, and also this is a course that we should run on. And 1, the faith in Ephesians 4:13 is not faith as a believing action, but the objective faith. Ephesians 4:13, until we all arrive at the oneness of faith and the full knowledge of the Son of God. So here, faith is talking about the objective aspect of the things that we believe in. 2, the items of the objective faith are only those items that are related to our salvation. In other words, only those items that relate to Christ's person and work. Just like Jude 3, it says that concerning the common salvation, beloved, write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you and exhort to earnest contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Therefore, this salvation is a common salvation, and it includes Christ, all the items related with Christ's person and work. In the Bible, besides the faith, there are many other teachings, but all those teachings are not necessarily related to our salvation. But faith that is related to Christ's person and work has an absolute relationship with our salvation. Let me read, what is our faith? When I read one sentence, what do you say? You say, amen. What do you say? Amen. So the content of our faith includes Christ is the Son of God. His incarnation, amen, was born of a virgin to be a genuine man in his human living. On the cross, he died to be our substitute. He shed his blood, accomplished redemption to wash away our sins. On the third day, he resurrected bodily and ascended to the heavens. Today, he's sitting on the right hand of God. He will return to receive all his believers into himself. Dear brothers and sisters, this is our faith. According to the objective faith, actually this faith is profound. This faith is nothing other than all-inclusive Christ, all-extensive Christ himself. We can say, do we have a full understanding of this Christ? Do we have a full knowledge or understanding of him? Dear brothers and sisters, we need to have more knowledge and understanding of him. May we pursue in the matter of faith and to have more experience of him. B, such a subjective faith has to do with our action of believing. The second aspect of the faith is the subjective faith. 1, according to this meaning, to have faith in the Lord is to believe in him. To all genuine believers in Christ are one in having faith related to Christ. When we receive the objective faith, That is the contents of God's economy. The subjective faith will rise up and be produced from within us. Actually, this subjective faith is a reaction of the objective faith. So our brother encouraged us, dear brothers and sisters, the subjective faith is not once for all. The subjective faith needing us to continually experiencing Him. From the day we begin to believe in the Lord, that reaction, that faith is continually produced. Because the believer's life is a life of believing. Our action, our words and conduct is according to faith, by faith and not according to sight. Like 2 Corinthians 1:26, Colossians 1, Christ in us, the hope of glory. When we receive such a word in faith, we believe one day our Lord will come again. And we believe that when He comes, to the faithful believers will receive His reward. Many people who do not believe in God, they feel these are fables, these are stories. They could not understand what is a Christian life. Dear saints, how many hours did you drive to here? And you are sitting here for 6.5 hours, and you spend a few more hours to go back. You say, what are you doing the first day of the new year? People could not understand our living because they do not have such a faith. Many friends and relatives say, you do not go into the stocks or do not buy a house. How are you going to live on? Thank the Lord. Christians do not live by eyesight. We live by faith. So this faith is the first major structure of our Christian life, our holy life. Many people left the church life. Many people because they have lost faith. So they are short of a sight or a vision of the subjective faith. So brotherly encourage us, dear saints, concerning the church meeting or the ministry meeting, transmit to us the objective faith and the subjective faith. When we hear such words of faith, we will have a reaction of believing. So we should grasp every opportunity of the church meeting. We should attend the seven feasts. So under the healthy teaching, we can see what is God's economy. Therefore, a faith of belief will be produced from within us. Although the worldly people do not understand, but we can live a life that awaits the Lord's return. See, in 1 Thessalonians 3:2, faith is not only subjective. Refer to the saints believing, as in verses 5, 6, and 10, Chinese, but also objective, referring to what belief is in, as in 1 Timothy 3:9, 4:1, and 2 Timothy 4:7. In Chinese, it's translated, one is believing, the other is faith. One, these two aspects of faith involve one another. Two, our believing subjective faith is out of the things we believe and in the things we believe objective faith. In this verse, especially 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we see Paul send Timothy to care for the condition of the saints' faith. He knows the saints have received many persecutions and tribulations. Satan, through tribulations and persecutions, wants to shake the faith of the believers. How shall we be under such a situation? We need to continuously receive and realize this objective faith through attending the church meeting and the conferences to see the content of God's economy. That will broaden the believing ability within us. So whatever we experience, we'll not lose faith, but rather we'll keep the faith. We can continue to follow the Lord. Let us read Roman number 2. I have kept the faith. After seeing what faith is, we will see how to keep the faith. A, the faith here is objective. B, the word faith in this verse implies our believing in Christ, taking his person and his redemptive work as the object of our faith. Faith are not just the teaching or doctrines of the Bible. The faith is concerning his person and his redemptive work. These are the object of our faith. C, to keep the faith is to keep the entire New Testament economy of God. The faith concerning Christ as the embodiment of God and the mystery of God and the church as the body of Christ and the mystery of Christ. In message 1, our brother has said it clearly, but I will say that to keep the faith is not to lose our faith. It's not like 1 Timothy 4:1, someone has left the faith. 5:8, they have forsaken faith. And 6:10, they have departed from faith. 2 Timothy, and they have been misaimed of the faith. So 1 Timothy 1:19 as shipwrecked in 1 Timothy. So how can we keep the faith? We're not here negatively trying to keep the faith so you will not be lost. Jude 20:21, you should establish yourself in faith, to pray in faith, to pray in. So to keep the faith, so not to lose our faith, we need to become what? Become the material, the foundation for us to be establishing. So the way is to pray in the Holy Spirit. The way is to pray in the Holy Spirit so we can establish ourselves in the holy faith. So the faith, number one, is included in God's Word. And within the Word of God, there's truth that's been dispensing to us. So the Word of God in this proper dispensing and proper teaching will transmit to us the reality of the faith. When we hear the Word which is contained the faith, the Spirit of Jesus will work within us so we can cooperate with God's Word. In our experience, we'll experience the click in a camera, right? The click to receive that truth. So whatever is in the Word, the scenery vision in the Word will be imprinted in us. As a result, there is a subjective faith as a reaction to that receiving. So do you have such experience? In the meetings, quite often, in hearing a message, in the past, I did not understand why do I want to go to the meetings in Anaheim. Many brothers and sisters in the U.S. would say, wow, I don't know what is there to wow about. But one day I seen the truth, unknowing, I just say, wow. That kind of wow is that click, kata, click. So we will produce a kind of faith, right? And that faith will strengthen us within. So brotherly encourage us, number one, every day you read the verses and footnotes, the cross-reference and life studies of the Bible. He said the New Testament recovery, the Bible, 1984 message of the entire Bible, the life study, 4 years, six messages a week. We can read the Old Testament, Old and New. He said this is the culmination of his 60 years of labor. He released it in such a way. Just spend a little time. How about you read the recovery version and one message of the life studies? Dear brothers and sisters, he said, we can be perfected in the fundamental of the spiritual education. So these will become our spiritual riches. And these riches are unsearchable, inexhaustible. And don't forget about praying the Holy Spirit. Every time after we pray, we need to do what? We need to pray. After what we read, the more we pray, the more Spirit will cooperate with God's Word to expand and to increase the faith within us. Just like message one, the testimony of Brother Watchman Nee, before he passed away, underneath his pillow, there was a little piece of paper. He testified, doesn't matter what experience in his entire life, he has never forsaken his faith. He kept his faith. 20 years of inhumane living. He experienced the illness of his heart condition, and he suffered the loss of his wife, but the environment did not defeat him. He kept his faith. May every day diligently we read the Lord's Word and pray the Lord's Word to pray, to cooperate with the Lord's Word. So the faith will be produced within us. Let us come to Romans number 3. 1 Timothy 6:12a says, fight the good fight of the faith. Romans number 3 and 4 are covered in message 1. A, to fight for the faith means to fight for God's New Testament economy. B, to fight the good fight of the faith is to fight for the contents of the complete gospel according to God's New Testament economy. Why should we fight the fight? C says, because of different teachings. The church has already become degraded and has deviated from the faith. D, Paul charged Timothy to fight against the deviation from the faith, which is to fight the good fight of the faith. We know that due to the degradation of the church, because 1 Timothy 1:3, the degradation of the church began with certain ones taught different things, and they did not agree with the healthy teaching. And 2 Timothy 2:16, some brought in vain talks, and their words will spread like gangrene, and whom and have left, depart from, and has misaimed, and 2 Timothy 2:4. So because the itching ears, they have teachers and forsook the truth and things of empty and vain things. So he encouraged Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2, proclaim the word, be ready in season and out of season. It doesn't matter, be in season or out of season. You want to fight, we must be someone who teach. That is whatever Timothy has learned from Paul of the God's New Testament economy and all the Old Testament scripture that he's familiar with. He said, but you do the work of the evangelist, fully accomplish your ministry. And therefore, in faith, and to be a proclaim, to declare God's into the economy. To be an apostle is to receive the commission to establish the church, to accomplish God's eternal economy, and to become teachers of the Gentiles. That is to teach and expound God's eternal economy and the contents of God's New Testament economy. Dear saints, on one hand, we should establish ourselves in the holy faith through the healthy teaching we will be constituted with the truth of God's economy. On the other hand, what do we need to do? We need to be someone who's preaching, teaching, and speaking the truth. The many words who are derived from the truth become the mainstream. The truth is not the mainstream. Why? Because many people spoke different things, but no one's speaking the truth. So, dear saints, we need to rise up to be equipped with the truth in our contacting of people, in our home meetings, in our small group meeting, Lord's Day meeting. We need to be a person who speaks the truth. May our speaking be a fighting the good fight. And let's go to Roman numeral 4. Paul, in 1 Timothy 6:12b, Paul go on to say, lay hold of the eternal life to which you were called. We have said that to fight the good fight of the faith, you need to lay hold of the eternal life. In our Christian life, we need to fight the good fight of the faith. In the Christian life, we need to lay hold on this life, the eternal life, the divine life, and not trust in human life. B, we fight the good fight of the faith, not only objectively, but also subjectively, by laying hold on the eternal life. C, we need to lay hold of the eternal life, then we will be able to fight the good fight of the faith. Dear brothers and sisters, to lay hold of the eternal life is not a life in the future, yet this life is for our life today and our daily living. When we are born the first time, what we receive is the natural life of Adam, but when we're regenerated, we have been called to enter into God's eternal life. So just like our brother said, we should no longer live the old life of Adam, but we should live the divine eternal life. That is why in chapter 6, verse 12, Paul encourages us to fight a good fight. And in verse 11 of chapter 6, he encouraged Timothy, O man of God, we should pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, meekness. So therefore, this fight is not an objective warfare, but a subjective warfare. It is by living the divine life to become our supply, our righteousness, godliness, faith, patience, right? All this, we will become a confession, a testimony before many people. People will know the one that we believe is real, is true. What we have believed is right, it's good, and it's wonderful. And lastly, I'd like to encourage you that when Paul said, I fought a good fight, I've kept the faith and lay hold on the eternal life, he especially charged those who are wealthy that you should not be high-minded and to put your hope on the unstable felt, but to those are rich persons, and not to be high-minded, nor to set their hopes on uncertainty of riches, but on God, who afford us all things riches for our enjoyment. To do good, to be rich in good works, to be ready to distribute, to be one willing to share. So you need to lay hold of the eternal life. We should not be high-minded. We should not set our hopes on the uncertainty of the riches. I especially concern for the working saint. When you begin to earn money, are you faithfully give your the tenth, whatever you need to the temple? Are you offering faithfully to the church and to the saints who are in need? Are you only concerned for your own needs, for your own pressure and worldliness to waste your money away? We hope that we are a group of people who lay hold of the eternal life. As someone, we should be good. We should be doing good works so we can lay hold of the eternal life, to fight the good fight and to keep the faith. I'd like to repeat what the brothers have said before. The burden of this conference is for the preparation of the Lord's coming. So such living is threefold. Number one is fighting the good fight. Number two, to run and finish the course. Number three is keeping the faith. When we live such a life, that is to live a life to prepare ourselves for the Lord's coming. Concerning keeping the faith, through the first half of the message, we are clear. Faith has the objective aspect and the subjective aspect in the Bible. When it translated into the faith is refers to the objective faith, which is the object or the things which we believe on, we believe in. So what we're seeing is clearly, what is the object or the things that we believe, and what is the faith that we're keeping? That is God's economy. Amen. Faith is the content of God's economy. But faith not only has this objective aspect, but also has this subjective aspect. In the New Testament Bible, we translate that into belief, believing, or how can we have faith, or how can we believe? We know that the producing of this faith, of our believing ability, is based upon the objective faith. When we receive the objective faith, the objective faith will produce a reaction, a result, ability to believe. That is the subjective faith, our believing. So when we say we keep our faith, that is to let this objective faith turn to become the objective faith of believing in us. So concerning this matter, our brother mentioned that the ministry used two examples, illustration, to help us to understand how can the objective faith to become our subjective believing. Number one is the heavenly television. Our brother mentioned about when we attend the church meetings, the ministry meetings, we're just here for watching a heavenly television. Right, this weekend, for us to come here, what have we seen? We've seen 30,000 people here. It's so crowded, so excited. But have we really seen the heavenly television? We don't need to see the soap operas, right? We have something more than the soap operas. The heavenly television, what is played, is what is God's economy. What it plays is God's eternal salvation. It is the complete gospel. It is the wonderful and full salvation. We need to watch this heavenly television. When the heavenly vision, heavenly revelation are transmitted into us, spontaneously, faith will be produced from within us. Someone said, I can't see the Lord Jesus with my eyes. How can I believe him? Yes, you cannot see him. But when we read his words, when someone speak to us the Lord's words, oh, spontaneously, there's an ability within us. Oh, we have discovered, oh, this Lord Jesus is so lovely. Lord Jesus is so precious. Oh, I want to gain him. And this is the faith within us. The objective faith must produce our subjective believing within. This is for us to keep our faith. So the objective faith is complete. According to Jude 3, it says it's once and for all has been entrusted to us, right? But we have received what's delivered to us, entrusted to us, we still need to live it, right? Our brothers pointed out, our daily living is according to faith, not by our eyesight. Yes, the objective faith is complete, it's once for all, has been delivered to us, but the subjective faith is not once for all. The subjective faith takes a process. You know, in our experience, sometimes we feel, oh, I'm full of faith. Oh, sometimes I'm weak in faith. I can't believe, Lord. I cannot believe. Why? When you're weak in faith, when you cannot believe, you know, it's because you have watched too little of the heavenly television. So let's come to the Lord's Word. You need to come to the church meetings. You need to come to the ministry meetings. Oh, let's watch the heavenly television. And another illustration, as mentioned in the ministry messages, the camera, right? A camera. On one hand, the Lord, through His Word, through those who speak the Word, to play, right, the scenery of the heavenly television. But on our receiving end, we should be like cameras. The key of a camera is what? It's a casa de click, right? A click. Have you opened your shutter? Open your lens? Every time we read the ministry, every time when we read the life studies, we think you, do you have a click, 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 and click? This afternoon from 12 p.m. to now, it's almost 6 p.m. How many times have your camera clicked? As I was hearing the brother sharing, every point, every word, I just have a click after every point, a click and a click. Amen. For me to sit here 5 hours, oh, the subject of faith has increased greatly. Amen. We need to see the heavenly TV. We have to see God's economy. We have to see the complete gospel. And within us, we need to have such a reaction. When we read the Word of God, the Spirit will cooperate with His Word to produce a click within. So the divine scenery, whatever is played of the heavenly television, is not only there, but it has been wrought, worked into us. Many testimonies shared the full-time training. There are many classes. What are they doing to listen to so many classes? They're just watching the TV. They're watching the heavenly television. We can testify when it comes to the training. We just have a little faith. But week after week, month after month, we're here receiving the heavenly transmission. Our faith will increase. Message 2, talk about our church life. We need to walk on God's ordained way. What is to preach the gospel? To preach the gospel is to play the heavenly television to people. When this precious Jesus, this wonderful gospel are played to others, people will have that click within. The heavenly scenery were deeply imprinted in them. What are we going overseas? Gospelization. You're just there to play the heavenly television. The Lord's testimonies can be raised at locality after locality. How can we gain people? It is all because of the heavenly television. So we need to continuously experience the objective faith to become our subjective faith of believing within. I will continue on with the following points. In Roman numerals, I'll give you a few sceneries, shows, okay? So I hope you have a click to every point, okay? Roman numeral 5, 6, 7, 8 talk about several aspects of faith. Roman number 5. A proper Christian life involves keeping the faith for participating in the divine riches in God's economy. So what is to keep the faith? We say the faith is the content of God's economy. We keep the faith, it's for us to participate in the divine riches in God's economy. Roman number 6, it talks about we need to hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Not only it is of a faith, but it is a mystery of the faith. What is the mystery? A tells about these are things that constitute the gospel. So pay attention to Roman number 5. We talk about God's economy, the divine riches in God's economy. Roman number 6, pay attention to the mystery of the faith, which are the things that constitute the gospel. That is a complete or full gospel that's revealed in God's word. And Roman number 7 is said about that we should earnestly contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Pay to C under Roman 7. The faith denotes it's a salvation that we receive. So therefore, the faith is a complete gospel, and it is our common salvation. Common salvation. And Roman number 8, we will see that we need to arrive at the oneness of the faith. Firstly, you see God's economy. And God's economy is none other than the triune God himself passing through all the processes to dispense himself into us. So we can have his life. So we can have his nature. So we can become his corporate expression. And such a word is very common among us, right? But brothers and sisters, do you know that how much divine riches are just embedded in such a word? Even just God himself, or even the word, the triune God, dispensing himself into us. Not only that we may have his life and his nature, eventually to become his corporate expression. That is God's economy, which includes all the riches of the divine economy. That economy constitutes the things of the gospel. God wants to dispense himself into us, and that dispensing is the gospel, as seen in Roman number 6. What is the gospel? The gospel will grant us the common salvation. Not only once for all we have received the faith, but we're in the process of growing, to grow into the oneness of the faith. And that oneness of the faith is totally related with our full knowledge of the Son of God. Now let's go on point by point. Roman number 5. A, the economy of God is a matter in faith. That is a matter that is initiated and developed in a sphere and element of faith. God's economy in B, which is to dispense himself into his chosen people. The divine riches of God's economy, number 1, is God himself. When we have received this all bountiful, abounding, the self-existing self, the eternal God, he embodied himself in Christ, who is the all-inclusive, all-extensive Christ. These are the riches of God's economy, in God's economy, now has been dispensed into us, those who are called and chosen and called. Therefore, we have come out of the natural realm into the divine and spiritual realm. 2 Timothy 5:17. So then, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. We're born in Adam, we're the old creation. But when we're saved, we're in Christ to become a new creation. Before, we're in the natural man, we're under the law. whatever we thought of is still to be a good man. We try to improve our actions, behaviors, to follow orders. But on the day that we got saved, we turn from the law into faith. Galatians 3:24. But before faith came, we were guarded under law, being shut up unto the faith which was to be revealed. So the law, the result, 3:26 of Galatians, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So we transfer from the natural realm into the realm of the new creation, into the spiritual realm. That is by believing in Jesus, being regenerated to enter this realm. C, and the points are quite precious. How about let us receive together? By faith, we're born of God to be His sons, partaking of His life and nature to express Him. One, by faith, we're put into Christ to become members of the body, sharing all that He is for His expression. Two, this is God's plan, which is carried out in faith according to God's New Testament economy. Oh, daily we need to enjoy the divine riches. You know, there are such divine riches in God's economy. Not only cause us to be regenerated, to receive God's life, but we'll also become partakers of His divine nature. Yes, maybe once for all we'll regenerate to receive His life, but to partake of His divine nature is something of a daily matter. 2 Peter says we're partakers of God's divine nature. To be partakers are the enjoyers, right? So every day we need to enjoy the divine nature of God so we can have His life and nature to express Him. Not only that, such a faith will cause us to be joined together, to be one with Christ. Just like last message, Paul, he saw the vision, who are you? This you is not only refers to Christ, but it includes us, because we in Christ have become His body. We become the members of His body. So all that He is has become our enjoyment. This is the divine riches of His economy. We daily enjoy of His divine being, so He may be expressed through us. This is the divine riches in God's economy. Let's come to Romans number 6. We need to hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. In 1 Timothy 3:9, especially, it's a word to the deacons and those who are serving in the church life. In a church life, there are many services. But all the services is for us to hold the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. Maybe in a church life we have done much, but have we hold the mystery of the faith? Do we have a pure conscience? That is, can our conscience testify that we are holding the mystery of the faith? A, the faith refers to the things we believe in, the things that constitute the gospel. The verses is so precious. Romans 1:1. Paul, slave of Christ Jesus, called apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Then he talked about what is the gospel of God. It's not only for men to receive the forgiveness of sins or not to go to hell, go to heaven. No. What is this gospel? Paul says this gospel is concerning his son who came out of the seed of David according to the flesh, who was designated the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness out of the resurrection of the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. I don't know how many conferences or messages need to cover just these two verses of Romans, but How blessed are we that in the ministry of this age has opened up the verses to us, so the gospel of God concerning his son, as in 2 Samuel chapter 7, through the prophet Nathan prophesied to David concerning the seed, it is fulfilled here in this verse. David will have a seed, and that person, that man will have a seed, and that seed will become the Son of God. This is what Paul has testified of the gospel of God. This person, and this person, talk about God, became a man. He's God. He was a seed of David, and yet, not only that, he became a man. He passed through the human living. He passed through the death on the cross, and he resurrected from among the dead. That is verse 4. He was out of the resurrection of the dead, in power according to the Spirit of holiness, was designated the Son of God. The matter of designation is so precious. This matter of designation, talk about God becoming a man, God entering into humanity, and talk about humanity in resurrection has been uplifted into divinity. And this gospel is not only about a personal Jesus Christ as an individual, but we're also in the process of designation, because the first chapter of Romans talk about concerning his son, and after so many chapters we come to chapter 8 of the book of Romans, we can see we will all be conformed into the image of his son. So that is the full salvation of God has shown to us. He's God becoming man to bring God into the humanity, and through death and resurrection to bring humanity into divinity. And we were man. Romans talk about we were sinners, we're under condemnation, but we were saved. We were born of God to receive God's life, but we still need to go through the organic salvation in Romans. That is the organic salvation, step by step. Not only we're regenerated, but we have been renewed, right? To be sanctified, renewed, transformed, and eventually glorified. Wow. So the Lord Jesus went through the process of destination, and we are in such a process, right? Amen. Until we're fully conformed, until we're glorified. Oh, that is the final destination. And the minister used the seed of a carnation, right? A carnation seed. How is it designated? Do you know what kind of flower it is? Oh, it is only by planting that seed into the ground, into the earth. After it grows, it blossoms. Then we see, wow, the blossoming of the carnation. Then you know that seed is the seed of a carnation. So today, in the same way, if I walk on the road, you say, I'm the Son of God, you declare. Maybe people will send you to a psychiatric ward, mental institution. No, we're still in the process, right? So we're in the process of destination. We're in the process of being sanctified. So we have the life and nature of the Son of God, but that gospel, that salvation will mold us completely into the full image of the sonship. Until that day, we're fully mature, we're fully conformed, when we enter into glory, the entire universe will praise and in awe. Wow, the Son of God has been manifested. And this is our faith. And this is the mystery of the gospel. So, B, the mystery of faith is mainly of two things. Christ as the mystery of God, and number two, the church as the mystery of Christ. Paul, in Ephesians chapter 6, talks about we need to pray for him that he will have the utterance to speak forth the mystery of the gospel. So, what is the mystery of the gospel? That is what he's mentioned in chapter 5, the great mystery, Christ and the church. That's what's here. mentioned that Christ, as the ministry of God, and the church, as the ministry of Christ. When we talk about the gospel of God concerning Christ, yes, it's not only, yes, God is mysterious, God is cannot be seen, but yet all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in this Christ bodily. This is Christ as the mystery of God. And yet this Christ, he's so inclusive, he's so extensive, he needs to gain us, he needs to gain the church as his body. That is a group of redeemed and who got through all the process of God's organic salvation to be fully conformed to the Son of God, to be built up together as the church, the body, to become his mystery. God is a mystery, yet manifested in Christ in the same way. Christ is mysterious, a mystery, and yet in the church, in his body, in us, he can be manifested. When it comes to such a meeting, maybe we have seen just thousands of heads. No, we can say that's only one head. How many heads are here? One, right? That is the mystery of Christ. You want to see Christ? You can see Christ here. There's a group of people. They were in Adam. They were natural. They were sinners. They were fallen. After they have heard the gospel, they had a click within. That heavenly gospel has shone into them. And daily they live such a click, 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 a life of kata clicking. So every day the heavenly scenery, one by one, point by point, has been constituted into them. Eventually they will become the corporate expression of Christ, the mystery of Christ. Then when we talk about our service in the church, we need to keep a hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. It's not talk about a conscience without condemnation, but a clean conscience. That means without any mixture. A conscience without mixture. A clean, a pure conscience without mixture. It's not so, oh, I sinned, I offended God, so I apply the blood to take away the condemnation of the conscience. No. Here, the pure conscience is joined to connect to the mystery of the faith. So the ministry opened this up to us. That is in the church life. You know, the services of the church, are you holding the mystery of the faith? Your conscience will tell you, are we purely, singly in the mystery of the faith? Just like Brother Lee in the opening in Taiwan, in the first meeting, many people came to meeting. But Lee was not happy because of that. He spoke a message. He chased people away. We don't have God's economy. You want to find a career, find a job, go somewhere. You want to find a wife, okay, get married. You go somewhere else, they will do, others will do that. But we only supply one thing and one thing only, the mystery of the faith. But Lee, he has a pure conscience. He can testify years, decades of his ministry had not changed his tone, had not changed his words. He's only doing one thing, that is to supply the mystery of the faith. In the church life, in our service, we should be such. For us to preach the gospel, to supply the mystery of the faith, for us to feed and shepherd the young believers, we're here for the mystery of the faith. People are coming to us with the trouble, we're not to become a reconciler, to make peace. No, there's no way to untie a knot. The only way to untie the knot is to hold on to the mystery of faith. May we be testified with our pure, unmixed conscience that this is our service in the church life. See, in order to hold the mystery of the faith, we must, it's seven. Okay, the matter of the object, okay, it's about the content to become our faith, or the content of the God's New Testament economy is our faith. We know that Before the Lord went to the cross, he established the Lord's table. He said, this is the covenant, new covenant I have established for you. What is that covenant? That is God. Lord went through a process and accomplished redemption to purchase a new covenant. So after he died, that covenant become a will, a bequeath to us. So therefore, once of all, it has been bequeathed or but delivered to us. So not only that, in resurrection, he became the executor of that will. So once for all, delivered to us is what we have, the New Testament. That is a new bequeath, new will, the New Testament. What has accomplished, has been written, has been delivered to us as we go to experience him, as we go to hold on to this, we will receive the common salvation. That common salvation, you can say, is what we have talked about before. What is talked about in Romans chapter 1, God's complete salvation, Romans. That is so precious. It says that to contend for the faith is not to contend after doctrines or teachings. Why the Christians are in division? Because they argue about doctrines. What we have keep is the faith, the entire content of God's New Testament economy. This is a common salvation that we have enjoyed. It's not just doctrine, but therefore we should, and it's content for the faith, one for all, delivered to the faith. Number eight, we all need to arrive at the oneness of the faith. The faith mentioned is the faith, the objective faith, until we all arrive at the oneness of the faith and the full knowledge of the Son of God, at the full grown man, at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we can say faith, the faith is once for all delivered to us, and yet subjectively, the subjective faith is what to be arriving at. Arriving at means we're in a process. To arrive at is the running of the race. Our brothers have pointed out, for you to run the race, you need to find what is the course. What is the course? The course is God's economy. The course in this message is that the faith that's once of all delivered to us, not only we have received, we need to be in a process to grow until we arrive at the oneness of the faith. Of the full knowledge of the Son of God. So here we can see the oneness of faith depends on full knowledge of the Son of God. And here, the Son of God is the gospel of God that we mentioned about. Therefore, we need to have experiential full knowledge of this Son. So we will arrive at a full-grown man, at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So when we take Christ as a center and focus on him, we can arrive at the oneness of the faith. So every day, as we experience the objective faith to become a subjective believing, as this process is going on and on, we'll ultimately arrive at the glorious conclusion. That is, at the oneness of the faith, and the full knowledge of the Son of God and the full grown man and the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, the one new man. That is a manifestation of the reality of the body of Christ. We have such assurance. Only this and only this will bring the Lord back. So brothers and sisters, through these three messages, we can hope we can see for the Christian life, number one, we need to do what? We need to fight the good fight. Number two, we need to run and finish the course. Number three, we need to keep the faith so that it will be the manifestation of the one body and the one new man, that the bride will be ready to welcome his return.